Okay, first I wanted to welcome back Steve, getting a permission for his mother. And I think as part of the Chabur would be a nice idea that all the learning this year should be Leila Nishmasa, Edel Bas Ruven, and Shama Shavin Aliyah. Okay, so let's learn a little bit about Rosh Hashanah, as we've been learning this week. And Rosh Hashanah is complex and confusing about the nature of Rosh Hashanah. In fact, the Shagaz Aryeh asks this question very directly, wanting to know whether or not Simchas Yontif, Samachta B'Chagecha, whether or not that applies to Rosh Hashanah. And that's in essence what we've been learning all week, going through the different sources, whether there is Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. So there are a number of sources that point in different directions. So one source, which you didn't see, which I didn't put on the Marmar Komos, is found in a Gemara in Erech in Daf Yud. And the Gemara in Erechin talks about which days we say Yontif, Hallel rather, which days we don't say Hallel. And the Gemara lays down the various requirements for saying Hallel. Has to be where there's a new Karban, has to be Moed, has to be Simcha, has to be Shira. And the Gemara says, well, what about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a time, there's an Isser Melacha, it's called a Moed, there's a unique Karban. And the Gemara says that we can't say in Rosh Hashanah Hallel or Yom Kippur, because Amru Malachi Asharis Lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Sheolam Mipnei Ma Ein Yisrael Omrim Shira Lefanecha. Why don't they recite Hallel before you in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So Hashem responds back to the Malachim, explaining to them, Amr Lehem Efsher Melach Yoshev Akisei Hadin V'Sifri Chaim V'Sifri Meisim Poschim Lehem V'Yisrael Omrim Shira Lefana. Is it possible that they're standing there Yom Hadin, not knowing which book they're going to be written in, whether it's Sefer Chaim or Sefer Meisim, and they're going to be singing Shira, and therefore the Gemara concludes there is no Hallel because it's a day that's very serious, which would seem to indicate there shouldn't be any level of Simcha. But there are other indications. Now, this is a Mishnah, not about Rosh Hashanah, about Yom Kippur. The two are somewhat lumped together, but I'm going to focus on Rosh Hashanah, but just to show you that this same dichotomy exists by Yom Kippurim. The Mishnah in the end of Maseches Tainus tells us that there were lo hayu yomim tovim liyisrael kichamisha asa b'av and tubav v'yom kippur. The two happiest days are tubav and Yom Kippur. So we have Yom Kippur on one hand is the happiest day, but on the other hand, it's been counterbalanced by a very serious day. We don't know how we're going to be signed in the book of life or the book of death. So this confusion exists by Yom Kippur and exists by Rosh Hashanah. Now, moreover, just to create further confusion, we saw in the Gemara in Beit, the Daf Tezvav, the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, that the Talmidim were saying Shir, and then Shir was over, he sent them out to go eat. So the Gemara explains that Rabbi Eliezer holds that the way a person should practice his Simchas Yontif, it should be either Kul Hashem or Kul Lachem. It should either be dedicated to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is also Simcha, which means not to eat. A person should be have a day of Simcha and Ruchnius, or Kul Lachem, a day in Gashmius. But there is Simcha, that's in general. And Rabbi Yeshua holds that Chati Lachem, Chati Lachem, a person should divide his day, half learning and davening, half eating and drinking. But this whole discussion, when they talk about what happened after Rabbi Eliezer's Shir, and the Shir was finally over, he said, everyone should go out and eat. L'chu achlu mishmanim v'shasum mimatukum v'shalchum minos l'aynech ne'lei nachan lo. The Pasuk tells us in Nehemiah that go out, and this Pasuk is talking about Rosh Hashanah. Ichlu mashmanim, go eat the fats. U'shasum mamtokim, and go eat the sweet, drink the sweets. V'shulchum manos l'ei nachan lo, and send to those who don't have.
How do we know
that's the context of the Parsha of the Pasuk talking about that. So this talking about Rosh Hashanah, they all point out. And they say, go eat and drink. So we see that there certainly is a concept of eating and drinking. And even if it's not eating and drinking, it's at least a fulfillment of Simcha. I mean, even Rabbi Eliezer holds it could be Kul Hashem, it's not because he holds it's a day of a sadness. It's because there's a way to rejoice by fasting. There's a way to rejoice by Kul Hashem. So I put on Marmar Komos the Chassam Sofer, which I didn't put the actual text in. I'll share with you what he says. Yeah, Eitan. Every Yontif, exactly. Every Yontif. And this is the pasuk that's invoked here is even by Rosh Hashanah. So when they're talking, the underlying question that the Achronim are trying to figure out here is, if Rabbi Eliezer really holds Kul Hashem or Kul Lachem, so how could he give a shir half the day and then say, go eat? That goes against what he says. So they explain that Tosfos says he wasn't really saying it's Pashup Shav Tosfos, and the Maharam understands this way. Rather, Marsha explains this way, that Reb Elazar doesn't think there's a mitzvah to eat. But once you're eating, and you decide to eat, so then you should at least eat nice foods. But he says you really should go kul Hashem, go the whole day, yeah, just davening and learning, be a mamash ruch nisik day. But the Maharam says, no, even Rabbi Elazar holds a half kul Hashem, kul Hashem, he could acknowledge if a guy stopped learning, he finished his quota for the day, so then he should go learn. I'd rather go eat. There's no stira to Rabbi Elazar. He says, ideally it should be all or nothing, all Hashem, all Hashem, but he also could acknowledge a person who can't learn all day. There's also a way to split it up in half. So the Maharam, the Chassam Sofer explains that there's no stira. Because Rabbi Elazar, who says kul Hashem, and a guy is learning till 3 o'clock and goes out to eat, the way Talmud Chacham eats is really kul Hashem. He doesn't eat for himself. It's a whole other Indian how the avod of achila is. This is what I'm talking about on Sundays now. I'm speaking about Parnasa and the Sunday Shir now. That Parnasa is not really kul Lachem. It's really an avoda in trying to elevate the world of Gashmius. So he explains there is no steer. When Rabbi Elazar says a kulul Hashem, it means even if a guy goes out and eats after the shear is over, that's still kulul Hashem, because the tzaddik knows how to eat properly. But we see from all this, though, without figuring out the shita of Rabbi Eliezer versus Rabbi Yeshua, there's certainly simcha in Rosh Hashanah. So that's the confusion here, whether there's simcha like the Gemara in Beta seems to indicate, simcha in Yom Kippur like the Mishnah in Tainus. Or today, that's very serious. We don't say halal on these days because we don't know where we're going to be signed off. Sefer Chaim or Sefer Mason.
And that was your Amos?
That was in Erechim. So, to confuse things matter, or at least to recognize, see how confused the Mefarshim are, you're going in circles here when you learn through the Shulchan Aruch about whether you should eat or fast, when you go through the postgame, whether you should eat or fast on Rosh Hashanah itself. We know in a regular Yantif, Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos, you're not allowed to fast. You must eat. And you should be eating basar v'yayin. Ain't simcha ela basar v'yayin. You should be eating meat, you should be drinking wine. But come to Rosh Hashanah, you have the whole spectrum here. You have some people say that you have to fast. Some say you don't have to fast, but there's a mitzvah to fast. Some say you're not allowed to fast, you have to eat. So there seems to be, it's clearly a lot of confusion, what was the nature of Rosh Hashanah with regards to this element of simcha. So the way the Shulchan Aruch at least paskins, he says, Ochlin v'shosim usmeichem. He writes in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, Simen Tav Kuf Tzadi Zayin, there's a mitzvah to eat and drink, v'ein misanim b'Rosh Hashanah, but we do not fast on Rosh Hashanah. So if you were to just read the Shulchan Aruch at face value, it would seem that there's a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah. But then the post can begin to fine-tune this dinner of the Shulchan Aruch. And the Ateret Kanim brings down that although there's a mitzvah to eat and drink in Rosh Hashanah, you are allowed to go past Chatzos, though. I mean, normally on a Shabbos or Yom Tov, you're not supposed to fast till Chatzos. You're supposed to eat before Chatzos. Now, in a time of the year like now, where Chatzos is very late, it's close to 1 o'clock probably. It'll probably pop up soon. So there's no real issue when you daven in a place, Chatzos. But in the winter months, when we change the clock, Chatzos could be before 12. And sometimes it could be challenging, trying to break that fast. So how one does that, perhaps drinking water in the morning before you daven would be a way to break that fast. Because once you daven, let's say you daven Shacharis already, you can't just drink water at that point. There's a din that you have to say Kiddush, even for water, after you've davened already. So either after davening, you could go ahead and make Kiddush to avoid fasting till Chatos, or you could drink some water before davening. You're allowed to drink water before davening, even without Kiddush. And if you drink water before davening, that also makes sure it's not a fast day.
The davening in Rosh Hashanah is generally past Chatzot. It's a long davening. Mm-hmm. So they're saying that we should
So the Ateret Kanim says that's what's unique about Rosh Hashanah, that you're allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah past Chatzos. Meaning,
also because the davening is also.
Well, that's not the reason why, because if the halacha would be that you're not allowed to, so then you should make sure to earlier. So I'll mention just a second what some of the yeshivas are, but he says, don't be concerned, don't rush home for Rosh Hashanah. You could have the Baal Shachar, the Baal Musaf, they could schlep out. and you'll eat at 1:30 in the afternoon. There's no violation of fasting Rosh Hashanah, because since we have this machlokas, whether you should be fasting or not fasting, he creates this pshara, this compromise that you could fast past chatzos, but don't fast the whole day. Now, so the minhag of yeshivas is very problematic. What many yeshivas do is they'll break before shofar and have a little kiddush. So in some yeshivas, I was told that while all the bachim eat, the Rosh Yeshivas don't eat. What's wrong? What's wrong with eating? Because there's a din that we know, but it's well known by Bedikas Chametz, everyone knows, or Chanukah, even more famous. For some reason, they teach us halacha for Chanukah and Bedikas Chametz, but nowhere else. That what? When time for Chanukah candles, you can't eat, the wife can't cook. Bedikas Chametz, you have to go home and do it right away. You're not allowed to eat before doing Bedikas Chametz. So what's so special about Bedikas Chametz and Chanukah that you're not allowed to eat before you do the mitzvah? Yeah, there's nothing unique about it. It's a mitzvah. It's not only Chanukah and Bedikas Chametz. It's every time there's a mitzvah, you can't eat, because the concern is if you're going to eat, you're going to get subsumed in the meal and you'll forget the mitzvah. Exactly. Try Kriyashma every single day. So, you know, the Mishnah says in Shabbos that a person shouldn't have a Suda close to Mincha. You shouldn't have a Suda close to Shema, because you might forget. So it's not just Bedikas Chametz and Chanukah. It's all over the place. So shofar is no different. You're not allowed to eat before shofar, because then you might forget to do the shofar. Now, even though it's very unlikely you'll forget because you have a whole shul and a whole yeshiva that's there, I meant to bring it in. Rav Shlomo Zalman is very stark against the minhag yeshivas to eat before a shofar. Now, I don't know if part of the consideration is also because they want to make sure not to fast past chatzos on Rosh Hashanah, but we just learned that Teretz Zakenim, the side of the Shulchan Aruch, there's no concern. You're allowed to fast past chatzos on Rosh Hashanah. It's not like the other yantif. Just make sure to eat later on. Don't fast the whole day. But the chatzos isn't of concern. So this is part of the debate that exists in Rosh Hashanah.
They can be choshesh for others.
What do you mean?
They can be choshesh for opinions other than the Atar Zakenim.
Oh no, they could be. It's possible.
Right. I mean, that is the understanding that when we had those kiddushes before shofar and yeshiva, my understanding was that it was to avoid fasting.
Correct.
Because otherwise you feel, also makes davening better, because otherwise you feel pressure, like you're hungry and you can't concentrate, or you feel pressure to daven faster.
Right. So that's what the poskim say. What you're saying right now is that if it's going to give you more energy and the everyone's going to be falling asleep and they won't feel the power of the shofar, that's part of the explanation.
Do they tell me not to eat more than a kabeita?
Yeah.
Right?
They do tell you that, yeah? Okay, so that limits it, maybe it's not a meal, it's a snack, that could be probably helpful in terms of getting to that point, yeah.
Aren't there certain halachas that are allowed in the Beis HaMikdash or where there's a Beis Din? Because if Beis Din is there, they're not gonna get mixed up with that halacha. Would that apply to
That doesn't apply to this type of concern. Now, there is something else that might be helpful. Most of us violate this problem. You know, we daven in the summer, and what happens is it's not tzeis yet. So you can't daven Shema. You can say Shema, but you don't not yo to the mitzvah Shema until after tzeis. We often repeat Shema after tzeis, and oftentimes we don't reach tzeis here in the shul unless it's during the winter months where we speak in between. Then we sometimes catch tzeis. You don't need to repeat it. Now, for some reason, shuls have the practice of only in the summer months, when you make early Shabbos, remember to repeat Kriyat Shema. But I'll tell you what, the rest of the year, most often we have to repeat it even on a regular winter, when there is no early Shabbos, because we're not making tzeis. So what happens is, we get home, and tzeis is in like 15 minutes, or 10 minutes. Usually, for me, I leave like the last ones, I'm fine. I usually get home, it's tzeis ready, so I'll say Shema and then eat. But if you didn't say Shema yet, and you're within 30 minutes of tzeis, you're not supposed to sit down and eat. Or Sfiras Omer. Sfiras Omer, you have to count once it passes tzeis. So what happens is that you start your meal, but you can't start your meal until you've performed the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. If you're in 30 minutes of tzeis. If you're 45 minutes before tzeis, there's not a problem. Once you're in the 30-minute zone, like the red zone of a mitzvah, so then you're not allowed to eat until you've done the mitzvah. So what's the Eitzah? The Eitzah the Shulchan Aruch brings is if there's an alarm. Someone reminds you set an alarm clock. Okay, so that helps during the week. So during the week, I have a 9 o'clock, 9:30, like, Sfiras Omer reminder. But what happens, like, on a Shabbos, a Friday night? So my brother-in-law is very, very frum. So he has an alarm he sets on Shabbos. He sets it before Shabbos, but it goes off on Shabbos, like the Sfiras reminder. What?
Just go off Shabbos. How do you turn it off?
It's like turned off after a minute or whatever the time is. So that's what he does. So I... I'm not so firm. So what I do is I'll take my watch off, like in shul, and I'll put it on my right hand. And it's always uncomfortable there, but I do it. And then when I get home, I take it off and leave it right by my plate. And that reminds me to say Shema again or to recite Svir. My brother pointed out to me that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky writes that he doesn't think like a sign is sufficient. As a reminder, I'm known to argue with Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, but Libby Omer that it is fine. So I never asked Rav Shechta, I would like to. It's one of the things that I want to ask him. But either way, you see there's a need to remind someone, make sure they don't miss the mitzvah. So that's what the issue is when it comes back to eating before a shofar. There's a concern you might forget it. But if, what Ariel's saying, not that there's a bezdin, but there's a whole yeshiva. No one, the whole yeshiva is not going to forget the shofar. So the concern isn't as much of a concern as opposed to an individual who I'm by myself, I go home, I might forget, but the whole yeshiva is not going to forget shofar. So that's also a reason why they can, as a whole tzibur, eat early before tkiyah shofar. But for our purposes, we see at least the Ateres Akenim holds that one is allowed to eat even past Chatzos, fasting half a day of Rosh Hashanah is not problematic. Again, because there's this quasi-simcha that exists on Yom HaKippur and Rosh Hashanah. Now, another instance we find in terms of this balance between the simcha and no simcha Rosh Hashanah is what you should be eating. First, we spoke about the timing. We could maneuver the time a little bit. But also, in what should be eating, the Behetav quotes from the Magid Nimesharim that although in general on Yom Tov there's a mitzvah to eat basar v'yayin, on Rosh Hashanah there is no inyan of eating basar v'yayin. At least that's his opinion. We don't hold this way. But the Magid Nimesharim says not to have meat and wine, but to have a suda. So there's this balance between a suda but no basar v'yayin. So just alumnus of that, the Mishas Yavetz, Rav Zolti, explains, alumnus is that Rosh Hashanah has covered Yom Tov, but no simcha Yom Tov. Covered Yom Tov tells us there's a mitzvah of a suda, and there's lechem, and there's pas, but there's no simchas Yom Tov, that there's no basar, and there's no yayin. That's how he explains this pshara. But in reality, after Rav Zolti suggests this, he says there's a different explanation, he thinks, as to what exactly is the nature of the simcha, or Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur for that matter. Now, before getting to that understanding of the Mishas Yavetz, this inyan of whether there's Simcha and Rosh Hashanah or not impacts other halachas. There are two nafkaminas, there could be many, there are few, actually three at least I could think of, that came across of whether or not there's Simcha on Rosh Hashanah or not. So number one is a discussion of the poskim, whether or not you should say Moadim L'Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. I think you saw this inside in the Shulchan Aruch, that even though in all the Nusach HaTfilas of Yom Tov, we always say Moadim L'Simcha, Chagim Uzmanim L'Sason, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, there's a Machlokas, and the Mechaber Paskins that we do not say Moadim L'Simcha, Chagim Uzmanim L'Sason, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. So that's one Nafkamina. Another Nafkamina, aside from whether you should eat or not eat on Rosh Hashanah, is let's say a guy forgot Yalav Yavo. So what happens if you forget Yalav Yavo on Yom Tov? The din is you have to repeat a benching because there's a mitzvah to eat a meal on Yom Tov. And if you forgot Yalav Yavo, so you lost out. But what if you forgot Yalav Yavo on Rosh Hashanah? Do you have to repeat benching? So the post can say it depends on whether or not there's a Chiv Suda on Rosh Hashanah, whether there's a Chiv Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. The third nafkamina is whether or not you could get married on Rosh Hashanah. Right? The Gemara in Moed Katan talks about a nosin nashim b'moed. You can't marry a woman on a Yom Tov. And the Gemara gives a few different explanations, but Pasha Pshana is ein marvin simcha b'simcha. You can't mix simcha together with simcha. So what would you say about Rosh Hashanah? So this too is a machlokas. So the Mishas Yavetz goes through this, and he brings some interesting sources whether or not you can get married or cannot get married. And he quotes from the Turi Evin in Chagiga Daf Ches. He writes clearly that it's usher to marry a woman on Rosh Hashanah because there is an inyan of simcha on Rosh Hashanah. But he quotes some other opinions of Shulchan Aruch Harav and the Sefer Amanig, who both say that one is not allowed to get married on Rosh Hashanah. Again, Shai Kutari says you can get married on Rosh Hashanah, and the Sefer Amanig and the Shulchan Aruch Harav says you cannot get married on Yom Tov, and this hinges on whether or not there's Simcha on Rosh Hashanah that would pose a problem of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha, or there is no Simcha on Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. Yes?
Isn't there a problem with Kiddush?
No, the Mishnah says in Beitza at the end of our Masechta that Ein Mekadshin B'Yantif, you can't do Kiddushin, but that's Lagabi Kiddushin, but not Lagabi Nisun. Take a look at the last Mishnah. One of the end Mishnahs there, it says. Where is that? I found it. I'm not sure finding it right now, but either way, in general, it comes to kinyanim. There's a discussion about kinyanim. You can't do a kinyan on Shabbos because it's a. Here we go. On Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, you can't make any kinyanim on Shabbos because it's an inyan of mekach hamemkar. So one of the things the Mishnah says, v'lo mekadshin. You can't be mekadish on Shabbos either. So Gemara says, v'ha mitzvah kavi. You're doing a mitzvah. You're allowed to do a kinyan for a mitzvah. If I want to makne something that's a mitzvah, I'm allowed to be makne a mitzvah to you on Shabbos. We spoke about this in the past. If there's an Indian, a chumrah, that everyone should own the matzah. The Gemara says that there are three things that you have to own to perform the mitzvah. You have to own lulav, lakachtem lachem. You have to own ariso sechem for challah. I own mafish challah on my dough. And the Gemara says matzah, even though it doesn't say matzah schem, it says gezer sheva lachem lachem. And matzah also you have to own. So you come to my house for Leil Seder. So it's not your matzah. I bought the matzah. So the din is, the Sfas Emma says on the Gemara there, he's not sure why people are not makna over the matzah, so everyone has their own chelik in the matzah. So Itaka thinks people should. There's some who practice that before the meal, they'll say, I'm makna over all my matzah to whatever matzah gets to your plate. That's yours, you own it, and you fulfill the mitzvah of matzah schem, if you will. So they say, you can't do this in yantif, ain kinin b'yantif. And the din is, no, if it comes to a davar mitzvah, you're allowed to be makna on yantif. Some are makbid to dafka do this before yantif to avoid this question. But mikra din, anything that's a mitzvah, you're allowed to do. So Gemara says, isn't there a mitzvah of kiddushin? So how come it says you can't do kiddushin on Shabbos? So Gemara says, lo tzricha de islay isha banim. It's ready where he's already married and performed the mitzvah peruvu. Had it not been for that, so then he does get a mitzvah and he's allowed to make the kinnin even on Shabbos. Okay, so back to the point. Yeah.
So Sharon Sargei says you can get married on
right,
because he doesn't hold by simcha.
On exactly, that will come out. He would hold that there wouldn't be any simcha on Rosh Hashanah, and the others would hold that there is simcha on Rosh Hashanah. So these are the
simcha. You can't get married because
ein marvin simcha, but simcha you cannot mix two simchas together. To have like a wedding and a bris milah together, bris milah is not a good example, but I don't know, a wedding and a sima and a sechta, that would be a possibility of an ein marvin simcha b'simcha, or getting married on yantif. That's a great example of ein marvin simcha b'simcha.
So you shouldn't really make on a yantif because of that?
According to some say not to. There's actually a discussion in the Stei Chemed. He wanted to know how could Chacham make a simchas Torah on Shmiya Teres. Mid the Raisa, there's no such thing as Simchas Torah. The Shmiya Teres, the eighth day of Yantif. So came along Chacham and said, let's finish the Torah on Shmiya Teres, and we'll have Simchas Torah on Shmiya Teres. So they asked the Stechemin, how could that be? Ein marvin simcha b'simcha. Make one Yantif on top of another Yantif. And so what he answers is that it's all the same simcha, because what's Shmiya Teres? Shmiya Teres is where we're outside in the sukkah, we're bringing 70 cows of karbanos, which are connected all the umos olam, everyone's invited, it's a big party. Shmiya Teres says we leave everyone behind, it's just us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, inside the house. Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the din is, what's our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's vis-a-vis the Torah. So it's all the same celebration. Celebrating the Torah and celebrating our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shmiya Teres is all the same. It's not Eimar from Simcha B'Simcha. So what some learn from there is, Rav Shechter says, well, we see that only Shmiya Teres can you make a Sim. But any other Yantif, it would be a problem. But most posts can assume it's permitted to making a Sim on Yantif, and the idea is because Torah is relevant to every single day of Yantif. Sim can never be a stira to any Yantif. It's always, the Torah is underlying everything that we do. So it's never really a stira. But possible at a wedding, there's a practice that some have like to make a sim at a chasen stish. Is that a violation of Ein Marvin Simcha V'Simcha? So the answer would be there. I didn't look into this, but I would imagine that some say it's a problem. Others would say no, because Torah underlies everything. You know, everything, Torah is never a stira to anything. Every simcha has Torah behind it. So I would imagine that would be the explanation why one would allow it. But either way, that's an interesting discussion in general of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. So what comes out from all this, however, is we find that Rosh Hashanah is clearly a very confusing day with regards to Simcha. Is there Simcha? Is there no Simcha? Is there a combination of Simcha? So I'll share with you the idea of Rav Jolti ends up building. It's just as follows. Rav Jolti quotes from the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Yontif that when he's describing how one is mechabed Shabbos and Yontif and how one is mesameach and Yontif, he writes in the Perek Vav of Hilchas Yontif, Halacha Yitzayin, he says, Shivas Yimea Pesach, Ushmaras Yimea Chag, Im Shar Yamim Tovim, Kulam Asurim Behesped Vitainis. V'chayv Adam Lios Behem Sameach. So pay attention. All the days of Pesach, he says, Shivas Yimea Pesach, and then Shmonas Yimea Chag, the 8 days of Sukkot, with Shar Yamim Tovim. What are the Shar Yamim Tovim that he doesn't mention already? Shuas. That's one Yantif, right? It should say, if it's just Pesach, Sukkot, and Shuas, it should say Pesach, Chag, and Shuas. What's Im Shar Yamim Tovim? Other Yamim Tovim. It should be Im Shar Yantif, or just be clear, that's Shuas. So clearly, and I think Rav Salvechik said this as well, and others, is clearly referring to other Yamim Tovim like Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Otherwise, it wouldn't be Shar Yom Tovim; it would just be just Shavuos. So we see that there is Simcha with the, for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But he points out as well that when the Rambam is writing why we don't say Hal and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, the Rambam says, "Aval." This is in Hilchas Chanukah, Per Gimel Halachavav, "Aval Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, Ein Behem Halal." There's no Halal. Why? The Fishein Tshuva, Yimei Tshuva V'Yira V'Pachad. And lo, you may simcha yisera. They're not days of high-level simchas. So in essence, what he's saying here is there's simcha, but it's not the highest level. So there are really three levels. There's simcha yisera, which is a classic regal. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Then there's days that have no simcha to it at all, which is just a regular weekday. And then there's those days in the middle which have partial simcha, which is Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. And that really explains why there is these steers back and forth. There's a simcha, there's a Sudas Yantiv, but not Basra Yayin. There's a meal, but you could go past Chatzos. And that goes through, really trickles through, about through all the different questions. And then how much simcha is there, is going to define? Well, is there enough simcha to not get married? Or maybe the simcha is a little bit diluted and you can get married. Is there enough simcha, you should say ma'adim simcha, or no, the simcha is not that great. But somewhere in the middle between simcha yisera and no simcha as well. That's what he explains and others explain as well to deal with these two different cases. But I think there could be another explanation.
The Rambam in the first halacha in Hosea specifically includes Rosh Hashanah, not Yom Kippur, and calls him Yom Tovim.
Okay, I'm not sure. Yeah, Yantif maybe. With regards to what? Eating? Probably regard to eating and stuff, no?
It sounds like he's talking about halacha in general. He talks about Isra Malacha and he's talking about Yantif. So he doesn't mention the sin battle. And it says in the first halacha, it says, Shei Shamim Halal or Shastra and Rakasa Blasias Malacha, Shein Rashi Rishon Vishvi Shapesa, Rishon Vishvi Shachag Sukkas U Yom Chai Hashavuos.
Okay, I'll have to take a look at it. I guess I'm not sure right now, but I think okay.
But if there's no requirement for Basra and Yayin and Rosh Hashanah, yet we make Kiddush and have to make wine because we make Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, so they speak about Basra Yayin. That many people don't know this, but Basra Yayin is referring to Yayin during the meal. Many of us will
so
just say yayin,
independent of
Kiddush. Oh. There's Indian tadafka have wine during the meal. So those who know this halacha, you'll see that they'll make sure to drink wine during the meal. But the Kiddush yayin, that's not sufficient. Because your point, dafka during the meal. So granted, we say Kiddush and Rosh Hashanah on yayin, but the kim is have wine through the meal as well. Yeah.
We're supposed to have wine through which meals?
The regular meals, the Pesach, Shavuos, Yom Tov meals. And there's a question whether or not Rosh Hashanah as well, one should be having yayin. That's debatable during the meal. Okay, let's finish with one last point, I think, in Panimi. What? I think the practice that people do drink, eat meat and wine is brought down Shulchan Aruch, that one of the simanim is the Rosh of Ashur. So there's certainly an inin of eating meat and drinking wine in Rosh Hashanah.
Maybe they're referring specifically to the Shur Winery in Israel.
Could be. Okay, so I think there is one other explanation in understanding this balance between being Yom HaDin and Yimei Simcha, which is based on a Gemara in Chagiga, similar to Gemara in Chagiga, but slightly different, and I'm sure there's a deeper way to understand this. I didn't have a chance to further look into this. But the Gemara talks about, with respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, crying and laughing. And the Gemara points out there's a stira that this Chagiga Daf Heimibes, that Kadosh Baruch Hu cries every single day. And the Gemara says, is that really true? Is it possible Kadosh Baruch Hu could cry every single day? Isn't he full of simcha? And the Gemara answers, isn't he? It says, Hod v'hadar, the fun of oz v'chedva b'mkomo, he's always full of chedva, full of simcha. So how could the Gemara say that he's crying? And so the Gemara says, Lokasha, habibati gavai, habibati barai. One referring to the outer house of Hashem, whatever that means, one referring to the inner house of Hashem. And what does it mean, outer versus inner? So the Gemara explains that in the outer house, in the outer house, there's simcha, but in the inner house, there's bechir, there's sadness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries every single day, and the Gemara explains why he cries. We'll be discussing this on Sunday as well, that he cries three tears a day, and there are a few different brises here, but one of the brises says he cries every single day for those who are efshir la'asuk b'torah, those who are able to learn ve'ena osik and don't learn. And al she'i efshir la'asuk b'torah, those who shouldn't be learning and yet osik. People who are just moser nefesh when they shouldn't be. And there's a reference to those who are sitting on kola when they shouldn't. And it's a reference to those who are going to learn when they should be sitting on kola. So people have to decide what to do. And then the third time he cries for a parnes, a leader who's miskal al tibur, who's so overbearing on a tibur. These are the three tiers. The other bride says he cries about bitul Torah, about the Bate Mikdash. But either way, we see he cries. And the Gemara explains he cries on the inside, but he never shows you on the outside. He's always besimcha on the outside. So this could be an explanation of Rosh Hashanah as well, that our mentality, how somewhere in the inside and the outside, in the inside, we should be scared. You know, when you go to a business meeting, so I've never really been in a business meeting, but I imagine you have to come with a lot of confidence, right? You have to come and show who you are and stand up and good posture. But even though inside you're scared to death that you're going to lose this deal, you're going to lose money. So that idea of balancing the pnimius versus the chitzonius, that inside you're like you're trembling, you yom adin, but when it comes to the dayan, you want to show I'm confident I did nothing wrong. So I think that's the balance here as well, because Rosh Hashanah, of all yom tovim, is the most hidden day, because it's bekesel yom chagenu. Bekesel yom chagenu is a day that's hidden. It's the day Shemes Kaseba, where the moon is hidden. Every other yontif, you see the moon. The moon's klai yisrael. Rosh Hashanah is the first of the month where the moon is hidden. It's a bekesel yom chagenu, where there's this kitzur, where this covering up what's going on exactly. And that might be the explanation of balancing yom adin, which is the inside we're really scared, but on the outside we show the simcha, that we're confident that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to grant us a favorable judgment. And in that zechus, we should be zocha to have that taka favorable in judgment, and be zocha to be written down in the Sefer HaChayim. Okay, we'll continue with Hashem next week.